there are a number of sources that you can find out there who have been boots on the ground in Syria. Eva Bartlett is probably the most high-profile independent journalist these days that has covered what's happened in Syria. But to find out what's going on and to really kind of get a detailed view of what's happened in Syria, particularly since March 2011, when the alleged civil war broke out, which was really a coup that was crafted once again by the CIA. There's a great post you can find over at Boiling Frogs Post titled "The Real Syria Story No One Wants You to Know About." Very detailed look at the situation. And I think it's important to understand stories like that for a variety of reasons. If we're being lied to, are we being manipulated? It's interesting, you know, important headlines. One of the headlines that I saw recently, the one I was going to mention, the situation in the Philippines is interesting, with Duterte, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, saying the things that he said, basically referring to himself as a hitman in a number of cases. It's just very bizarre. But Business Insider pointed to the Reuters story on this subject, published a story yesterday titled, "They are connected with the CIA, Philippine President accuses U.S. ambassadors of being spies." So Duterte derided U.S. ambassadors as spies on Thursday, responding to a media report of an alleged American plot to destabilize his government. No, that would never happen, except, you know, every day. And so folks need to understand how this works, because it affects all of us in the end. It affects all of us. And how does it affect some of us directly? Well, there was also the story that I saw more military servicemen and women are killed by suicide than by all of the factions of Al-Qaeda. Speaking of recent passings, Rashan Salam, Heisman Trophy winner, his death was ruled a suicide this week. So the headline over at USA Today, I think that was yesterday, "Suicide kills more U.S. troops than ISIL in Middle East." That's provocative. So what happens when you volunteer for something that you think is a good thing, only to discover that what you're involved in is not good, and you wish you could get out of it? The story, this has been an epidemic for a while, and I've talked about this. The problem, you know, we talk about trying to find cures for things. There is a TED talk that was given recently I saw. What was her name? Rebecca Brockman, who is a neuroscientist, I think is her title. She gave a TED talk September of this year. Should let you listen to it. They're trying to figure out how to cure depression and PTSD. Well, could a drug prevent depression and PTSD was the name of the TED Talk that she gave. And I would submit that there is a reason that your body and your mind are trying to tell you something. What about the causes? What about curing the causes? Which gets back to the other story. You know, women have three times more stress in the workplace to deal with. Suicide kills more U.S. troops than ISIL in the Middle East. Is that not something that is a provocative statement? We have a problem here. Suicide, not combat, is the leading killer of U.S. troops deployed in the Middle East to fight Islamic State militants, according to a newly released Pentagon statistics. But this is not a new story. This is an epidemic that has plagued the United States military for years now. U.S. casualties have been relatively low since the U.S.-led war effort, I would say conflict, obviously. Congress declares war. Hasn't happened since World War II. And as I've said before, you know, people will argue, but that takes a long time. This is a fast-paced world. Congress declared war essentially overnight. December 7th, Pearl Harbor was attacked. Japan was goaded into the attack. This is something, again, that's not new. One of the most notable instances of that in recent history was our creation of the Afghan Mujahideen to fight the Russians in Afghanistan, ostensibly. And out of that came the recruiting of virtually all of the folks that you see in leadership, including Osama bin Laden, of course. But then the outcroppings of the Mujahideen have been Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Al-Nusra Front, etc., 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 El Corazon Group, the Corazon Group. You know, all of these groups have as their roots the Afghan Mujahideen, and that goading the Russians into Afghanistan, essentially, or part of the drawing the Soviets into Afghanistan as the Soviet trap, as Brzezinski put it, and creating a situation that made it virtually impossible for the Russians not to intervene, as Brzezinski has intimated. So the reason suicide ranks as the number one cause of troop deaths are complex, alleges the Pentagon, and poorly understood, according to the experts on military suicide. They likely include mental illness that enlistees brought with them to boot camp, post-traumatic stress, multiple combat deployments, and heightened anxiety in a military at war for 16 years. Interesting. We're not quite sure. I think it's pretty easy. U.S. casualties have been relatively low, as I said, since about August 2014, reflecting the limited combat exposure for troops. Of the 31 troops who have died as of December 27th in Operation Inherent Resolve, 11 have taken their own lives. 8 died in combat, 7 in accidents, and 4 succumbed to illness or injury. Cause of one death is under investigation. So they say, the Pentagon and its research says it's complicated. I don't think there's one single cause for it, said Rajiv Ramchand, a senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation who has studied military suicide. There are a multitude of factors. They are also picking up on a trend toward more suicide in the U.S. population as a whole. Again, there's a reason for this, and we need to look at what the reasons are. What are the the situational aspects that cause people to lose hope entirely? And I think if we would have that discussion with ourselves, we would be far better off for it. Again, this gets back to the point of why it's important to understand what's happening in Syria and what's happening here. We played the TED Talk Trevor Aronson gave about the fact that the FBI creates the title of the TED Talk was how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. We played that TED Talk yesterday. The organization responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and ISIS combined is the FBI. It's important to understand that. This changes our perception of things and where we look to how we view these situations, where we look to find the culprit. And the same is true of the CIA. If we understand that the CIA has been masterful in the art of covert regime change action for decades now, we understand, you know, people are outraged about Russia, the alleged Russian interference in elections. But we forget about our own CIA and its propensity for the same. So if we understood what was happening, it would change our perception of how these things play out, how the CIA has destabilized Syria, how that falls into the Wolfowitz doctrine, how that folds into the Yanan plan, which is also known as the greater the Zionist plan for the Middle East or greater Israel. You know, that reaching back to the 80s, the Wolfowitz doctrine of the 90s, et cetera. It's just a continuation of the the destabilization of the Middle East, the Balkanization of the Middle East, and the you know, the U.S., the intelligence community, the United States intelligence community has admitted to destabilizing Syria in particular, for instance, in an effort to install another Wahhabist, Salafist regime. Remember General Wesley Clark's remarks? We played that recently too. 7 countries in 5 years. So, when was that? Back in the Defense Intelligence Agency. Published a document that clearly stated I think that was published in 2012. And that leaked out into the public, I think, last year. That stated, if the situation unravels in Syria, there is the possibility of establishing a declared or undeclared Salafist principality in eastern Syria. And this is exactly what the supporting powers to the opposition want in order to isolate the Syrian regime. This is what has been the underlying modus operandi. Destabilize the region. This, as I have said, the Salafist and Wahhabist strain of Sunni Islam, which really is not it's not the same. You know, folks will say what they want to say, but you know, if you go from mosque to mosque, I'm going to do that this year. I pledge to you now, I'm going to do that in the coming year. I will go talk to some folks at mosques. I'm going to say, look, we know this is how this works. We want you to understand that we're on your side. I'm on your side. I understand that the FBI creates terrorists, tries to find would-be dupes, patsies, and Manchurian candidates in your mosque. By the way, is the FBI involved in installing any of your leadership? And talking to folks, trying to get to the bottom of some of this nonsense, letting them know that there are people in their community that understand. Hopefully we all get knowledge up. So this changes things. If you understand the CIA is destabilizing the region and we're sending boots on the ground in behind our own sons and daughters into a cauldron of political unrest, turmoil, and toxicity. For what purpose? Then hopefully the greed doesn't overwhelm people anymore so much as common sense prevails and we don't send our sons and daughters out to be the provocateur of the world or the clean team and the nation-building arm of the provocateur, the CIA. And the same goes for what's happening here. We should be looking at these events differently. I submit that if we know the CIA has been instrumental in these covert regime change actions over the years, dozens and dozens and dozens of examples, then shouldn't we look there first when these things happen? And if the FBI creates more terrorists in the U.S. than Al-Qaeda, ISIS, et cetera, combined, then shouldn't we be looking there first when we hear someone is radicalized? Shouldn't we be saying, well, did the FBI radicalize them? Why aren't we doing that? This is why we need to understand what's going on. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
We need to understand what's going on. You know, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi said on Tuesday it would take 3 months to remove Islamic State from Iraq. U.S. Coalition Forces leaders said 2 years. There was no Islamic State in Iraq prior to the ousting of Saddam Hussein. So again, who is responsible for the regime change? Who is responsible for the political vacuum that gave rise to the Islamic State? So it's the U.S.-led coalition supporting Iraqi forces fighting an enemy that even Hillary Clinton admits we helped create in the fight against the Soviets. And that's fairly disingenuous, but at least it touches on the reality of the situation. Do you really want to send your sons and daughters into that kind of a cauldron, or we keep creating the frenemies that we're fighting? This is not a new scenario. We played the clip of Gary Webb back in 1998 on C-SPAN's Washington Journal talking about how Jonathan Quitney said it all, really, in his book Endless Enemies. This foreign policy of the Yan'an plan, the Zionist plan for the Middle East, becoming the Wolfowitz Doctrine, et cetera, this continuation of this nonsense needs to be stopped. We need to understand that for our children. Anyway, I want to give you Jason Chaffetz in his own words about Obama's what I would call land grab, what he called the midnight land grab. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
Our next guest is a vocal opponent of the newly designated monuments who happens to represent one of the states included in today's designation. Here with me now is Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz, who is the Oversight Committee Chairman. Congressman, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good evening.
All right, so you are slamming President Obama. Why?
It's just terribly arrogant. He unilaterally is taking 1.35 million acres. That's more land than there is in the entire state of Delaware, and redesignating it as a national monument. And if you're living there, you're a rancher, you're a cattleman, if you have resources there, guess what? The president just changed the whole equation on you unilaterally with the stroke of the pen. There's not a single person in Utah in any elected capacity that supports this, from Democrats. Rebecca Benally, a locally elected Democrat from the Navajo Nation, she's opposed to it on the San Juan County Council. So there is not a single person and any elected official that represents that area that's in favor of it, but the president did it anyway.
So he's completely in his right to do so. As you just heard from Doug, it falls under the 1906 Antiquities Act, which gives the president the power to designate national monuments without approval from Congress. But why now, do you think? I mean, what is there, just over 20 days left in his term?
Well, I think the arrogance of what he did is going to actually provide an opportunity for us to challenge that, because the Antiquities Act in the early 1900s was put in place to save small areas. It actually says small designations. You can take hundreds of acres and go protect Bears Ears and a couple other sites that are probably worthy of protection, but 1.35 million acres? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is a state of Utah where nearly 70% of our land is already controlled by the federal and state government.
And a lot of the resources that you're talking about is that there's a lot of concern about not being able to for energy development in some of these areas.
Yeah.
All right, so Congressman, you sent a letter to President Obama. Yeah. What did you say in that letter?
Well, hey, look, I'm the chairman of the Oversight Committee. I can investigate anything at any time. I can actually issue subpoenas, and we're going to drag them up there and understand. Oh, absolutely. There is no choice. They just unilaterally did this after 2 years. Congressman Rob Bishop and I worked, tried to come up with a bipartisan solution. Never did the president ever grant us a meeting, even though we, as a delegation, asked for it back in April. And never did he ever discuss this with us. They gave us a 50-minute notice that they were going to do this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite. A garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient, with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on for the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Bottom of the second hour. This is it. This is it for the year, the week, the month, and the year for this broadcast. Anyway, in the run up to the new year. So, what you're hearing, Obama's midnight land grab, as it's been referred to, in Utah, Nevada. Briefly on that, but then the bigger story, real quick, with only days remaining in his presidency, obviously, he used the Antiquities Act of 1906 to seize 1.65 million acres in Utah and Nevada. It's interesting. That puts, just to kind of put that in perspective, that puts Obama's land grab total at 553 million acres over the course of his two terms in office. Obama's actions represent the largest seizure of land from the public by any president ever. This is particularly controversial when one realizes that that was never intended by the founders. The land that's managed by the federal government was supposed to be managed by the states. So now more than 80% of Nevada is preserved by the federal government, and over 65%, almost 70%, as you heard Jason Chaffetz say, of Utah falls under federal management and control. And it was interesting also that Chaffetz mocked the White House for their announcement, picturing the arches instead of bear's ears. And who knows why, but it's also particularly provocative when one realizes that the land seized around Gold Butte was the subject of the Bundy standoff a couple of years ago, and it is adjacent to the Bundy Ranch. So that's interesting. And the last thing that I'll say on this that I think is provocative is this all dovetails with the Coalition of Western States movement, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Montana, New Mexico. It's that Coalition of Western States movement that is very volatile and incendiary, I would say. A number of provocateurs in the mix there. And that, I would say, also reaches back to this controversy, this dialectical synthesis that's happening and colliding forces together, folds into the broader initiative dating back to the 1992 Rio Earth Summit to rewild America. And this is what's happening. I've mentioned that I've seen in the Pacific Northwest a number of mountain roads closed. I mean, a growing number. And I know that a number of folks that have lived in that area for a long time have noticed the same thing. So that's, again, something to be mindful of, the changes that are happening in America. And there are a number of environmentalist groups allegedly, ostensibly, you know, fighting for the environment, petitioning this effort or that effort, the timber industry in particular. And that's just to bring the timber and mining industries to a grinding halt, again, dovetailing with that broader rewilding initiative. And those groups, the, you know, World Wildlife Funds, the Alpine Institute, or the Aspen Institute, and those kinds of groups are all funded by the same coterie of folks. And speaking of that coterie and the fake news initiative, agenda-driven news, really. Let's go to that next video if you have that ready, please.
Its fight against fake news has begun in cooperation with third-party fact-checking organizations. However, as Miguel Francis Santiago explains, there are genuine concerns about those very groups.
The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media.
Facebook fights back against an avalanche of fake news.
Spread of fake news. Fake news.
Fake news to be flagged by the so-called fact checkers. Now, you're probably thinking that they must be the quintessence of unbiased and professional journalism. Well, judge for yourself. Facebook released a statement on December 15th giving us the names of these third-party organizations that they openly said will be employed as these fact-checkers. They reside under the IFCN, or Poynter's International Fact-Checking Network. Here's an interesting thing about Poynter, the supposed esteemed leader of journalism in the world. Funded by such notorious donors like the George Soros' Open Society Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, National Endowment for Democracy, which has financial links to the State Department, as you may know, eBay's Amidyar Network, and Mr. Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, who donated a whopping $1 million to Poynter to create this anti-fake news mechanism, becoming its biggest donor since Poynter's inception, by the way. All seems fine and dandy until we fact check that Craig Newmark is a Clinton campaign donor. Likewise, George Soros and Bill Gates have been big time supporters and donors of the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's election campaign. The fact of the matter is, another Poynter donor, eBay founder Pierre Omidyar, gave millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation.
Give me the goosebumps just to hear those names, because they have actually a very strong political agenda. It seems like there are a lot of people who think that it's dangerous not to be able to control the media. So it means that to sort out what is fake news and what is the true news is a sort of, what should I say, a way to control the narrative. So let's say that you want to be in a kind of political opposition to these powers. Of course, you're going to be censured. This is a kind of censorship.
We've seemed to have stepped into the revolving door of the fact-checking industry here. It seems that the new wave mechanisms like Facebook's will only allow selected facts to exist, while other facts that don't fit Washington's neoliberal and progressive narrative will be deemed as fake news. Miguel Francis Santiago, RT.
So that's the RT installment of fake news and fact-checking. Interesting. Again, it's just agenda-driven propaganda, really, is what it amounts to. And, you know, you have folks like the Omidyar Network, Pierre Omidyar mentioned there. He is the backer of The Intercept, for example. And I think that, you know, again, kind of controlling the alternative media as well. There are a number of those kinds of folks controlling the alternative media. I think that folds into what I call the Glasnost effect agenda to destabilize America in an effort to throw the baby out with the bathwater, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. We got to start over. You know, it's just that's what these people will say, and that's not a good idea. There's a reason that some people want to try to circumvent or chip away at the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Again, quickly kind of moving forward, speaking of what's going on in the world, I want to give you another RT video. This is, I mentioned it earlier, John Nixon talking to RT America about He was Saddam's CIA interrogator. He explains how Americans were duped. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
John Nixon worked for the CIA in the early 2000s, and he has a new book coming out called Debriefing the President, The Interrogation of Saddam Hussein. So he actually met and questioned Saddam Hussein. And what he learned, he recently wrote in the Daily Mail, was a lot different than what Americans were being told by their news. Back in 2003, Nixon had been in Iraq for 8 weeks when he got the call from his bosses saying they had pulled the guy out of a hole in the ground that they were pretty sure was Hussein and that Nixon was going to question him. In the article, Nixon focuses on just how much the media got wrong based on his actual firsthand interrogation. First, Nixon says that it was a total myth that Saddam Hussein used a bunch of lookalikes as a way to remain hidden. Remember that? How we were all told that there were a bunch of dudes who looked like Saddam used as decoys? Nixon said people in the intelligence community used to laugh at that. It was so ridiculous. Yet this is what we Americans were told by our trustworthy media. Then Nixon debunks a whole bunch of other stuff we were told. He writes about how Hussein called Americans a bunch of ignorant hooligans with no clue about Iraq or its culture or its people at all. And then he mocks the idea that we all believed he had weapons of mass destruction. He pointed out how everyone knows it would be ridiculous to use chemical weapons or the like when it would clearly mean retaliation. Hussein also thought it was ridiculous that Americans would buy the story that he had anything to do with Osama bin Laden at all, and that any American would buy that as a reason to go to war with Iraq. And then Nixon writes what Saddam Hussein said about why America had gotten all the news so wrong. And to me, it's pretty crazy how clear it is and prescient considering how everyone's talking about fake news these days. Hussein's answer to how we got the story wrong was that the spirit of listening and understanding was not there. And he actually said that he didn't exclude himself from that. In other words, Saddam Hussein was saying that when people aren't trying to listen to each other or understand each other, the facts get buried and the crap gets stirred. Which to me was surreal to read, because it's so true. Even this ruthless dictator knew something that everyone on the planet refuses to acknowledge right now. That true peace only comes through listening and deep understanding, not through shouting a bunch of shallow fake news at each other.
Isn't that something? That's about as well as it can be put, I think. Isn't it? remarkable and provocative. That, again, from RT America. And that from Saddam Hussein. As she said, Saddam Hussein was saying that when people aren't trying to listen to each other or understand each other, the facts get buried and the crap gets stirred. Isn't that what we see happening? This is why it's important. In a post-truth era, in a fake news era, in an agenda-driven propaganda era, when it seems that we have capitulated to the notion that the subtle or not so subtle art of persuasion, which has become the not so artful manipulation of folks, is allowed to prevail over truth and fact, we have a problem. The facts get buried, the crap gets stirred, which is surreal indeed. Even Saddam Hussein knew that true peace only comes from listening and deep understanding, not shouting a bunch of shallow fake news at each other, which I would say is why, again, returning to Robin Cook's piece, why Robin Cook had to take a dirt nap back in 2005. Remember that piece that he wrote, published the day after the London 7/7 bombing? That piece titled "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means." And less than a month later, Robin Cook was dead. Because that's intelligent discussion. The National Defense Authorization Act discusses providing material support or resources to designated foreign terrorist organizations. If you do that through a proxy, is it any less of an offense? The United States government does that, just that. Yet Barack Obama and all of the intermediaries, functionaries, interlocutors, etc., go unpunished. Is this not hypocritical? Anyway, there's more, but let's go to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I can't let the year close out without telling you thank you to begin with. Chris, you know, two words come to mind. I think it was Charlie Chance said, very interesting time.
Yeah.
Now, this is all very interesting. I guess let's recap Barack Obama's accomplishments, just two or three things real quick, and then I'll make room for someone else. Let's see here. Mal Herr, Bundy's, Harney County, destroying, just basically trashing the Constitution. Think about what went on, the murder of the Lois Pinnock. Things that we're never going to, I mean, we're going to see worse, folks. And I hate to end the year in a bummer mood, but it's not going to get better until people realize that, again, you've been lied to. Now,
yeah. For
anyone that has cable TV or satellite TV, you know, this Gold Rush program, guess where they moved their equipment? They went from, I think it was Alaska. Guess where they're moving it, Chris? They're moving it to Oregon.
Yeah.
Right outside of. Know where the Bundys were at, or you know where the refuge was at. Going to mine Oregon. So, is there a reason for this madness that we're seeing? Absolutely, and maybe
absolutely.
These guys were involved. You know, with Pam and Bundy, maybe some of them knew what the plans were, and they were trying to protect. Oh, let's not forget. I think the first time you and I spoke was actually Gold King Mine. Boy, what a job they did there. They did a great job at the Gold King Mine, folks.
And while we're talking about it, we need to make sure that we touch on the fact that technocracy is a means to an end, and that is a resource-based economy. It's a resource-based economic model, and resources are the – the currency. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So that transition is happening right before our very eyes, but people don't recognize it because it's not something that is well understood. So those resources, it's the age-old theft, but it's a transition for a specific purpose anyway.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, I forgot what I was going to say. I said, let's not forget. I'm actually, I'm at work, so I'll make room for others, but it is very interesting. We got to realize, again, they're lying to you folks, and then tell people, well, I know what it was. I spoke to a gentleman yesterday talking about what's going on in the nation. People have got a lot invested in this lie. This guy was a 20-year Army veteran who believed that Putin and the Russians were actually hacking the emails. And when I said, really? He got upset, man. I almost went to war until I told him I was a vet. They've been lying to me for 40 years. So we got to realize, man, the lie is there. And there's only one author of anything that's not true. And we know who it is. And we got to, it's like you can't do it with physical weapons. It's a spiritual battle. So
absolutely.
I'll end it in that. We'll see you next year. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, John. You as well, and hope you have a great weekend and a great New Year's Eve, New Year's. While we're at it, I guess we'll be taking Monday off, so we'll be out on Monday. But I think it was the most notable example of that phrase, very interesting, is probably Artie Johnson's Wolfgang the German character on Laugh-In. I think he was probably the most legendary of the folks who use that phrase. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Glenn in Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Let me take you off speaker here.
Hey, Glenn.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
It'd be one of your last callers here. I don't know about you, Chris. You don't seem terribly alarmed. I am exceedingly concerned. I think we are in one of the most dangerous times in American history since, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Obama seems to, I mean, this idea of him closing these two embassy facilities and sending the Russians packing, fortunately, so far it seems, I think Putin has not responded in kind. He's going around poking everybody in the, you know, ribs and the eyes and trying to see how many people he can piss off before he leaves. He and Kerry giving Israel a bunch of flack, giving Russia a bunch of flack. I'm praying for a smooth transition to the Trump administration. I can't wait to see what happens. But this stuff with Russia is just off the hook insane.
It is pretty crazy. Yeah, Russia closed the school, and that's, you know, the only big retaliation I've seen so far. But I don't know about you. I'm definitely concerned. I feel like a lot of that's scripted, and maybe if there's any consolation in that, it's that the voices in Russia say that they're kind of waiting for the Trump presidency to, you know,
oh yeah. Well,
see exactly how they respond.
In the meantime, we're talking about people being assassinated. I mean, the NATO auditor general, that wasn't even had to do with Russia. That guy simply tracked down the money trail to the ISIS support money, and that's why they whacked him. But the ambassador killed, and the other guy killed. I mean, people are dying because of this.
And you know? Meanwhile, you have guys like Michael Morell running around saying, hey, we should do this. And if you said it, if I said it, shoot, man, we'd be locked up.
Oh, yeah. It's just crazy.
He says it. Days later, it happens. I mean, is that a coincidence? He says it on with Charlie Rose in August and reiterates it the following month. And what, I think the next day, Putin's favorite driver is killed in a bizarre freak car crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
if you said that and that happened, or I said that and that happened, we'd be locked up.
Well, if the Obama administration mounts a cyber attack on Russia, on Russia's computer infrastructure, we've already stated that any such attack on our infrastructure would be considered an act of war. And yet, hypocritically, they said, "Oh, we're going to get them, Ruskies," and they're going to do. If they do a cyber attack on Russia, we're living in a glass house. We're living in a house of cards. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. We stand to lose a lot more from having our internet infrastructure brought down than they do.
Absolutely. And, you know, to kind of underscore that point, Larry King, in his interview of John McAfee, you know, that's exactly what McAfee was saying. He was saying, we have no legitimate cybersecurity. We have this, you know, these hacking initiatives and the tools of war, essentially, but no security. And the agency that will probably be tapped for protecting America as far as cybersecurity is concerned is the FBI, the agency that's been hacked repeatedly, including by a 15-year-old kid, including by China, et cetera, et cetera. And
right,
so,
right.
Yeah,
well,
glass house. Absolutely.
Just let somebody take down Facebook and Twitter and all the little shiny screen addicts go through a dopamine withdrawal and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, it is pretty frightening. Yeah. Scary times, for sure.
They're going to have to suffice with sitting there playing Candy Crush until the internet comes back.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. Well, here's hoping they don't do anything radically stupid. But I'll tell you, I'm kind of holding my breath, slightly hypervigilant. And again, after the inauguration, we just had one of our malls, regional malls, had one of those crazy mob things. You know, we got the splash.
Did we lose Glenn? Uh-oh. Glenn, it looks like we lost you. Unfortunate. Feel free to... Well, that's going to do it. I thought it was interesting. Speaking of that, the Russian embassy in London fired off a response on Thursday, tweeting the picture of the lame duck. Interesting. So this is a Cold War reboot. It seems there's a lot more to say, but that'll do it. That'll do it for the year, the week, the month, and the year. I hope you have a great weekend. Happy New Year to you and yours. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. I hope it was informative. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.